And we're back in the When Jesus series. It's been almost, this is the 6th week since we've taken a break from this series. If you remember where we stopped in Matthew 24, we were in this last days living. We looked at part one of that. Last days living, part two, we had this break. And we're going to finish this last days living, part three today, while we're still in the series. So we'll finish Last Days Living, this mini-series within the overall series, and then we're going to move into another little mini-series within this overall series next week. Next week, we're going to be going to Daniel, and we're going to be there for a few weeks learning who and about and why and what of the Antichrist. So, you know, just before Mother's Day, my dad stopped by. And remember, this was the message I had planned for that day before, thank the Lord, he woke me up out of my slumber, because the message is entitled, You Will Be Hated, and that won't be a good one for Mother's Day. But he came by on Mother's Day, and he stopped by, and he brought me some lunch, and I was so thankful for that. And in the bag, he threw in a couple of those dark chocolate pieces, you know, those Dove dark chocolate pieces, and they'd come in different colors. And on the inside of each wrapper, I had the red ones, and the red foil wrapper, Dove has printed some words of wisdom, they think. Here's one of them. Everyone has a happy ending. If you're not happy, it's not the end. That's what my wrapper said. I'm like, whoa. Well, I imagine somewhat like that, the disciples here in our text, as they listened and were listening to the words of Jesus. Remember, we're spreading this out over weeks. They are sitting down at one time being told this by the Lord in one sitting. And today, I imagine as they listened to these words of the Lord, they would have preferred a dove-like message on being happy rather than the message Jesus had for them, which was that they would be hated and the results of that hatred. Today, I want to share with you right up front, this message can be hard to hear. But these are the words of the Lord, and they are very necessary for us to understand what life can be like in serving Him, and that has a purpose and a meaning and a richness to it. So let's read together the Lord's next words in this text, Matthew 24, 9 through 13. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many, because lawlessness is increased. Most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. Here Jesus, as we have seen, has been describing for us and for the disciples, the apostles, the characteristics of the world prior to his coming. And he's giving to his disciples and to us admonitions in light of those conditions, what to expect and how to respond, on how to live, how to be faithful and remain faithful to him in these last days. We have seen in Last Days Living, part one, part two. If you weren't here, go to the website, listen to those, or go familiarize with those, that Jesus tells us we should not be misled by religious deception in the last days that it's coming. False Christ, false prophets, false teachers. Nor be frightened by the conditions of the world, wars, famines, earthquakes, and such. And this morning, as we continue in this passage, we will look at the persecution and the hatred that will be leveled against Christians in the last of the last days. And Jesus now tells us in his admonition, do not be deterred. Do not be deterred, but endure to the end. Lord, I just thank you that we can come here today, that we can sing that you're a miracle worker, way maker, that, Lord, right to the end, you'll bring us to glory, that we can sing praises to you, that we can be in your word and have the truth of your word, that we can have the confidence of you as our Savior. Oh, Lord, these words today that you have told the disciples and the early church and the church of this age and the tribulation saints to come, Lord, are hard to hear. But we know, Lord, that it is not about this life, but about our life with you. And I thank you, Lord, for what you did for us on the cross as we sang this morning. That you paid the price for our sin. That you have made the way, the only way possible for us, and have accepted us and chosen us. Thank you, Lord, by your grace and by your mercy. We praise you and we love you. In your name we pray, Lord. And we look forward, Lord, to your return. Would it maybe be today, Lord? I hope we are found faithful. Amen. All right. Thank you. Let's begin by reminding ourselves of the timeline. It is clear that while Jesus is speaking to his apostles, using the word you to them, his words clearly extend well beyond the immediate audience, the immediate apostles, and they include all the followers Jesus will have in succeeding generations, including those who will believe in him after the rapture of the church in the coming tribulation after we've been raptured out. And during this time, leading up through these birth pangs, right up into the tribulation, false Christ, false prophets and teachers, wars, famines, and natural disasters in the world, as well as now the persecution of Christians, are all inclusive characteristics of these last days that began with the coming of Jesus that we see Hebrews 1:2, the coming of Jesus. These things, said Jesus, are just, in verse 8, the beginning of birth pangs. So you'll see, as we've been going throughout, we are now in this church age. We are coming to a point where the church will be raptured, and we will see this escalating over and increasing levels like in labor until that day of the rapture. And then in that seven-year tribulation, these will exponentially explode into massive, massive judgments. So, you know, one young lady expecting her first child and very concerned about the subject of this labor pain said to her family doctor, in fact, don't go there, but just the other day, sitting on the couch with Biz, she was imagining what this first experience of labor would be. Huh? And you're so excited for it. She said this to her doctor, my childbirth instructor says it's not pain I will feel during labor, but simply pressure. Is that right? Doctor said, yes, in a way that a tornado might be referred to as merely an air current. You know, with this analogy, what Jesus is actually saying is that what the world is experiencing now is nothing compared to the unprecedented pain and suffering that the world will experience in the great tribulation to come. Just as the beginning of these labor pains are nothing like the full onset birth pains of labor. But here's the good news. This intensifying labor pains means something. What does it mean to a mom that a child is coming? The joy of a new life is coming. As Jesus himself, the creator of all things, knows, for he said this, Whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to her child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that a child has been born into the world. You know, I don't have this here, but it just hit my mind. As I was talking with Busy, she said, "Dad, I think I'm going to have a lot of pain." Kayla told me that she was making sounds that she's never heard before. Is that right? But when the baby came, what joy. How you've experienced this, many of you. You know, it's always darkest before the dawn. But I'm here to tell you, not my words, but the words of God and the words of the Scriptures, is that Jesus is coming, and the birth, this dawn of the new age, is on the horizon. Amen? That when he returns, those birth pains, that labor is over. The birth of a new age. The King of Kings will reign on earth and us with him. And there will be nothing but joy inexpressible. Wow. But look at what Jesus told his apostles. Try now to just stop and place yourself in their shoes. Go now. They've just come from the temple. They just heard Jesus say these words. Jesus is only a few days from his death. And imagine they're sitting there with him and they're asking him those two questions. Place yourself at the scene and now take the Lord's words as if you're hearing it for the first time with one big gulp. As they did. Here we go. They will deliver you to tribulation. That's the word persecute. And they will kill you. And you will be hated by all nations. And many will fall away, meaning from following me. And many will betray one another and will hate one another. And many false prophets will continue to rise and mislead many from following me. And lawlessness will increase to such a degree that the love of most people, which is the love that they profess for me, will grow cold. Talk about a big gulp. Talk about what they must have been thinking. I would have sat there and been mentally and emotionally dumbfounded and dazed. Would you not? In shock for a very long moment. The apostles must have looked like deer caught in the headlights. These were men, we must remember, who just a few moments before this were thinking that the Lord was going to set up his glorious kingdom immediately. But again, let's remember this throughout. What Jesus says will happen just the way he says it will happen. To name a few, just to name a few, James, who will be the first of the apostles to be killed, he will be beheaded by Herod. Peter himself, sitting there listening, he will be crucified upside down. Andrew, the first to follow Jesus, will later be crucified near Athens by being roped to an X-shaped cross to prolong his agony. And John here, John, the last of the apostles, will be exiled to the island of Patmos. Why? Revelation 1:9, because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. And we're going to see that that has some very special meaning in our text today. And that's just a few. And since the church was founded during these last days and these escalations of labor pains, Christians have been persecuted and killed for the faith. And even today, multitudes and multitudes of believers throughout the world, if you have your finger on the pulse and you understand what's going on in Christianity in the world today, they are suffering persecution and they are suffering martyrdom more than ever before. But we Christians here in America, we have known very little of that level of persecution. And therefore, usually in churches today in America, when you talk about persecution, we're talking about, you know, hey, somebody made fun of me. Now, don't feel guilty that you're not being persecuted to death. That is by God's sovereign grace. Amen? By the grace of God, and we should be thanking Him for that. But I'm here to tell you, that is changing. That is changing. And we need to be prepared for what is coming as America will move further and will move further away from its Christian roots and Judeo values. There will be a day of great Christian persecution in America. The one phrase that has been repeated without variation in Matthew, Mark, and Luke is, you will be hated. Wow. What's the deal here? I mean, George Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who proclaim it. Wow. That hatred of the truth that Christians hold on to. What is that truth? Which is the objective truth that is contained in the very Word of God alone. The hatred of that truth, Jesus Christ, contained in the Word, the gospel is sweeping our country and is already generating persecution today. And this hatred of truth is laying the groundwork. It is the laying of the groundwork. It is the planting of the seeds for more and more persecutions of Christians in the days to come here in America. Because in the last days, the entire world will persecute Christians. Let's be clear about this hatred. Hatred is a big word used, just like love is used in so many ways. What is this hatred before we go on? I mean, you can be hated for a lot of things, right? I mean, you can be hated for a lot of things here in America. I mean, you could be hated for being a Trump supporter. And you can be hated for supporting President Biden as well. You could be hated for being right to life, for the life of the unborn. And you can be hated for being pro-choice, hated for being a Democrat, hated for being a Republican, hated for being black, red, yellow, white, whatever, hated for ethnicity and race. You can be hated for not supporting or complying with the LGBTQ community or the progressive woke movement. You can be hated for being a Michigan fan. If you're in Ohio, but vice versa if you're in Michigan. The list of what one can be hated for is exhaustive. But here, we are talking about a hatred unlike any other hatred. A hatred at its very center is as satanic as it gets. It is the very hatred that Jesus is talking about. The hatred he is talking about is heaven and hell. God, Satan. It is a satanic hatred. This is a hatred that Jesus says in Matthew 24:9, because of my name. In Mark 13:13, you will be hated by all because of my name. This is a hatred of God Himself and all He stands for. It's amazing. You know this. It's amazing how preaching the truth of the Word of God, the truth of Jesus, the truth of the gospel has the ability to get everybody united in hating you. As we saw in Galatians, the Spirit walk. Preach Jesus as the only way to salvation. Preach Jesus that you must repent and receive Jesus or perish. And tell people that this is just what the Bible says, and this is exactly what God says. And the next thing you know, Republicans and Democrats hate you together. Trump supporters and Trump haters will hate you. Gays and straights will hate you together. And Michigan and Ohio State fans will hate you as well. It's amazing that the one unifier of all the groups that hate for different reasons will all in unity hate Jesus and his followers. Enemies of one another will become friends with each other in hating you because of Jesus, his name, because of the gospel. We see a clear example of this in Luke 23:12. We see this in Herod and Pilate. When they were persecuting Jesus, agreed in the persecution of the Lord. This is what we're told. Here's a real life example. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. There you have it. Wow, and knowing all this, how shall we respond? Run to the hills, get your wagons. Let's move out to Wyoming and find us a place to live. And bring your ARs. I'm kidding. Let's circle, let's hide, let's go underground. Well, listen, we don't want to pontificate our own opinions. What if that was our opinion? What if that's what the heart told us to do? What if that's what our emotions wanted to do? Let's just respond how Jesus tells us to respond. Amen. Here's what I've gleaned from comparing the synoptic gospel. First, let's be ready. Ready for what? Jesus said in Mark 13:9, be on your guard. Only Mark adds these words, and it means be prepared to respond. Wait a minute, you mean I'm to be ready, like just anticipate the persecution? No, be ready to do something. To do what? Here's a shocker. You ready? To give your testimony. To give your testimony about Jesus and the gospel. In Luke 12:21-13, Jesus went on to say, it will lead to an opportunity for your testimony. What? There's purpose behind my persecution? You mean there's a bigger, grander purpose behind suffering for your name? Jesus said, but before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and will persecute you, delivering you to the synagogues and prisons, bringing you before kings and governors for, here we go again, for my name's sake. It will lead to an opportunity for your testimony. It's about eternity. Jesus is seeing things through the scope of eternity, not this temporal world. He's seen souls. He sees heaven and hell. This earth is passing away. It's futile. It's a vapor. If you're being persecuted for him, remember what the disciples, they went out when they were being persecuted and they counted it all joy to suffer for the name because they were able to proclaim Christ and give their testimony. We saw this in Acts, the church on the move, when the apostles were brought before the courts. They used it as opportunity. We've been talking a lot about, are you praying for opportunity? You're not even being persecuted. Opportunity to share the one, true, only God, the Savior of the world. You may not yet be hauled into court, but everywhere there is a conversation about the things in this world. There, that moment is your court date. Your opportunity for your testimony concerning Jesus. So Jesus is saying, if you're going to suffer for me, be ready to share me. Next, be confident. Be confident. That's shocking. That's kind of scary. I don't know about you. We went with Vince and Rhonda yesterday to the Tiger Park. What's it called? Yeah, the Rescue Center. Albatero, you should go there. Man, there are some, I've never been so close to tigers. Rhonda started provoking them, and they got all mad and thought I was going to die. Was it you provoking them or me? Fear. When sudden persecution or trauma or hardship comes, our natural reaction is fear. But Jesus says, be confident concerning persecution. Jesus told the apostles, and therefore he told his church, therefore he told you and I this, do not worry. Mark 13:11. When they arrest you and hand you over, do not worry beforehand about what you are to say. To say whatever is given you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but it is the Holy Spirit. Notice, he didn't tell them don't worry about their life. He didn't tell them don't worry about the harm that's coming your way. Notice, their hearts are so in tune with Christ, they are looking for an opportunity to use the persecution for the name, to proclaim the name, that they're not to worry about what to say. Wow, is Jesus keeping it in line with what the heart and mind should be thinking? This doesn't mean that you shouldn't know the gospel as well. It doesn't mean you shouldn't be prepared. But Jesus is just saying, don't overthink this, everyone. Don't let fear and anxiety overwhelm you in this situation or any situation in life. Someone once said, if God bids you to fly, he will give you wings. But in this case, he will give you the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. To enable you to be what he's called you to be and to do what he's called you to do and to say what he's called you to say. In that moment, he will give to you a peace that transcends all understanding. You see, they need to hear the gospel too. As Jesus also said, when he said it will lead to an opportunity to your testimony, notice this. So make up your minds. Not to prepare beforehand to defend yourselves, for I will give you utterance and wisdom which none of your opponents will be able to resist or refute. You see, down deep, this really boils down to, in the moment, who do you trust? Who do you trust? Do you trust the Lord in this seemingly impossible situation of such harm that may come your way? Do you trust him to open your mouth in the face of the consequence? Here we see what will be given to you in that hour: utterance and wisdom, words and wisdom. That is the words and the wisdom which none of your opponents will be able, Jesus says, to resist or refute. We actually saw that in Stephen, in Angel Face, Lion Heart, in Acts 6:10. Many of you here, I know I can testify that in the moment of your need, scripture verses and just the right words come to your heart, come to your mind in an amazing way. Did you notice something very precious here about these verses? Can you see the little bitty gold nugget in these verses? In Mark, it says that the Holy Spirit will speak for you. But here we read, I will give you utterance and wisdom. Jesus speaks personal, first person. I will. You think he's got a vested interest and knowledge of what he's calling you to do? He is there with you. He will be there. He will give you wisdom. He will give you utterance. He will. I will be there as you suffer for my name. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than what's going on. Man, I thank God for this. I am not alone in that hour, nor am I ever alone. I always have my Lord and Savior with me, and he lets me know you are not alone in this. I will give it to you. I will be there with you. Jesus once said, I send you out as sheep amongst wolves. He sends us out. And that seems scary until we realize something, until we realize that our shepherd is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and no one can defeat him. And if he is for us, who can be against us? Amen. So be confident, amen? Say, I'm confident. Yeah. Say, I'm ready. Next. Let's be faithful. He says in verse 13, but the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. Jesus calls upon us to not be deterred by anything we see or experience in the world around us in these last days. Don't be deterred. Be faithful. Endure. That is translated this: hold your ground. Hold your ground. Resist. Do not be moved. The NIV says, stand firm. It is that idea that when lies and the world and persecution come against you, you will stand into it. I loved what Eldon sent out the other day. This isn't in my notes, but it's that idea of here. It would be lean into the wind. Lean into it. Stand firm against it. What can we expect to see and experience in others in the world around us as we get closer to the rapture, as we get closer to the last days? Just like Matthew 24:10 reveals, at that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. You see, tribulation and persecution have a unique thing. They uniquely have a way of thinning out the ranks of false followers, while also proving those who are true. Wow. Jesus has already revealed this in Matthew 13, 20 through 21, when he said this: the one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And here we go. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, which is him, his name, the word, the truth, immediately what? Here we have the word. He falls away. Persecution will not only cause many to fall away to save their own skins, but they will also, oh my word, they don't just fall away. They betray and hate. They will not value life. They will betray and hate one another in these days. This is the very same word, this betray one another. You want to talk about the level of this betrayal? It is the very same word used of Judas. From then on, he began looking for a good opportunity to betray Jesus. It is used of Judas in Matthew 26:16. And Jesus tells us in Mark 13:12 something that will be so hurtful. When I think of this, it can only be so damaging, so hurtful to the individual in a relationship. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. And what? Children will rise up against parents. And they don't just rise up, they will have their parents put to death. If your children are betraying you and falling away, it's not necessarily you individually that they hate. It's that they hate God. That's the bottom line. In the last days, we see that children will be rebellious against their parents en masse. Leading up to these last days and those in the last days, They will betray even members of their own family, their inner circle, and have them put to death. This is going to be unprecedented in scope. This is going to be unparalleled in all of history, as this will be global. Though we have seen it, have we not, in much smaller scales throughout history? I mean, just one well-known one is during the Holocaust. Many Jews, to save their own lives, resorted to hiding. Well, many Jews resorted to hiding, but many, to save their own lives, revealed hiding places. They turned in their family. They turned in others. A famous case of this was with 15-year-old, you know, Anne Frank. The Diary of Anne Frank. She was hiding with her family in the house that they sent her to, the whole family in Amsterdam. But somebody notified the Nazis of their hiding place. Their home was raided, and Anne then, after hiding for quite a while, was sent to the concentration camp, Bergen-Belsen, where she died less than a year later. Investigations revealed that it was likely a Jewish notary who revealed Anne's hiding places to save his own self and family. This is nothing new, but this is going to be on a global scale. In the tribulation to come, and we're going to look at the Antichrist next week, this betrayal will reach epic proportions, as close family and close friends will betray professing believers to the authorities. On another level, do not be surprised when push comes to shove and it costs us to stand for Christ. Are you prepared for that day? Do we have life in the proper scope of our vision? Do not be surprised that one day, maybe, your cost to stand for Christ will come to you through the betrayal of those so-called professing Christian friends and even those so-called professing Christian family members while they abandon you, abandon the church, and abandon Jesus because their love grows cold and they were found not to be one of His to begin with. He says in verse 12, because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. So as we draw closer to the beginning of the tribulation and throughout those 7 years leading to the end of the age and the coming of Jesus, lawlessness, my friends, rebellion, anarchy, selfishness, self-will, and all that comes with it will increase in exponential measures towards God. It will increase of lawlessness against His word, against His will, against His laws, against His moral order. And society will shake their fist in God's face with no shame. We are seeing this lawlessness, are we not, manifested as never before in our nation. From physical crime to moral abomination celebrated in the public square. And Matthew says, because of this increased lawlessness, most people's love will grow cold. And in the context here, since they are contrasted with genuine believers who endure, this is a reference to those who profess to have a love for the Lord. Those who profess to love the Word of God, who love the truth. But when worldliness seeps in and they start getting caught up in this worldly view and lawlessness heats up, that love will grow cold and you will find a decent amount of professing believers living lives so deep in the margins, all they do is talk a good talk. They don't serve, they don't give, they aren't faithful. They don't love being with the saints. They're not in the Word. They use the Word of God like a little nugget. So if they're in their daily bread or get their Word of the Day from their radio station and listen to a couple good songs, they think that they're godly, but they never share the Lord. They have no love for Him. In their heart, they're inwardly living and dealing with sin and living with sin. And we saw what that looked like in Galatians about being truly deceived. And Jesus says, they have a profession of love for me, but I have something that will winnow them away. That is persecution. That is hardship and trouble. And they're going to do it for my name's sake, but I'm going to use them. We're going to see how God's going to use them for mighty ways in weeks ahead. But when worldliness and lawlessness heat up, we're going to see in Christendom a cold love. You're going to see a Laodicean church. As more and more laws are passed, supporting all sorts of immoral, lawless behavior. Those who speak out against those things, those who stand up and bring God's law to bear on the situation, will increasingly come under more and more persecution in the form of lost jobs, in the forms of fines, in the forms of even imprisonment. Did you see this headline? May 8th, 2023, UK government approves buffer zone around British abortion clinics, silent prayer banned. It is now against the law to have silent prayer or consensual conversion with anyone within a buffer zone of 150 meters around any abortion clinic in the UK. Said one British official, this is the first time in modern UK history that thought crime has been introduced, and that thought crime is spiritual. It won't be long before these concepts are introduced right here. Today, the truth is considered hate speech by those who hate truth. All it is going to take, my friends, there's a few laws to be passed, and EC Grace will be persecuted for preaching hate speech. As lawlessness increases and more people substitute God's truth for their personal truth and rewrite Scripture, calling it Scripture, the more they will be intolerant of God's true followers. The more they will be intolerant of the Bible, and the more hate they will show for the name of Jesus. So don't be discouraged. Don't be caught off guard. You see, it will cost to stand true, but Jesus tells us to endure. Jesus says, be faithful to me. He's going to know it when you do. He's going to be pleased with you when you suffer for his name. He is preparing a place for you in heaven, and he knows what's in store for you. He knows we must just believe and walk in faith and trust him that he can use me for his glory, no matter what that may be now. You see, as we close and come near to the tribulation to come, it could be, today could be the rapture. These increasing labor pains as they escalate, take heart. Don't be discouraged. We have the one who matters. Don't you see? It's all because of his name. It's the hatred of our Lord. Therefore, it would be expected to be hated for his name. But imagine all those who are going to come to know him as their Lord and Savior. We have the Lord. We have his power. We have his strength. We have his peace. We have his presence. You see, with the gospel of hope in Jesus Christ, we have everything, and we have everything to proclaim to the nations. You've got freedom. We also know something. I know my happy ending. I don't know how I'm getting to it, and I don't know what's going to be individually ordained for me, but I know what it is. I know one day I'm going to see Jesus face to face. The one that they're about to persecute here in the text. Just to think for a moment that he would choose you to represent him. Wow. We know our happy ending and will one day see something very, very real and true. we will see just how much this life is nothing more than a vapor in the scope of eternity. You see, ultimately, it's all about that. So this ends the three-part series, mini-series called Last Days Living Within the Overall When Jesus. Remember, next week, we'll be looking at the Antichrist. So in spite of the many, everyone, in these last days who will fall away because of persecution, despite the many prophets who will mislead many, despite all the lawlessness in which most people's love will go cold, do not get discouraged. Let's trust the Lord and follow Him. Therefore, do not be deterred. Do not worry. Do not fear. Let's do something. Let's be part of the few and the true who will faithfully endure to the end of our lives, even if it may cost us our life one day. Let me ask you something. What if it did? Do you think if it actually did cost you your life one day that you would regret it when you're standing before Jesus? Wonder what that welcome would look like. No doubt about it. Today's message, definitely from the words of our Lord. Hey, let's just face it. These type of messages, it's a gut check. How many of you said, man, I want to come hear this every Sunday? These words from the Lord, this is a gut check to the raw, raw truth of our faith in Christ and what lies ahead for the believer. Maybe even us leading up to the rapture. And Jesus saying, it's okay. I'm with you. It's okay. So determine now, he says, with the Spirit's power, be ready. Be ready to share me. Be ready. And be confident when the time comes. I'll tell you what to say. And endure. Be faithful. Stand up underneath it. You won't regret it. I'll reward you when you come to me. I love you. Now go serve me. And I'm thankful he's warned us ahead of time. Amen. Dear Jesus, I thank you for your word. Oh, Lord, these things seem so scary to think what is coming. To think, Lord, that we may even have to endure some of it before that day of wrath, that 7 years starts. I pray, Lord, that we will be ready, that we will be in your word daily, that we will be feeding on your word, that we will be fellowshipping with you. Oh, Lord, take away from us, like we saw in Hosea, any foolishness if we think that we can be in the margins and be okay. Lord, so many believers today, where is the fire? Lord, I just pray that you search each one of us and that we allow that. That we yield any area of our life to you where we are trying to maintain control. Lord, as we look and want to yield everything to you, to be able to be ready to share our testimony of you, to be confident that our words are the wisest words on earth. They are your words, the word of God, the gospel. Lord, let us not be deterred. Lord, protect us from evil. Lord, I pray that we will encourage one another in these days that you've given us to enjoy this life, to enjoy our surroundings, to enjoy one another. I thank you, Lord, for the blessings you've given us here in this land and continue to provide for us. But Lord, may we be prepared for the days ahead, knowing that it's you who we serve and there is a bigger purpose than just our daily life. But that purpose is to bring you glory for all eternity. Lord, I thank you for your words. May they strengthen us. May they bring us into an alignment of reality, of the truth, of real faith in you and what may be called upon. And Lord, may we be found faithful. Let us encourage one another to be faithful through everything. and following you and a consistency of godliness. In your precious name, Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.